910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A heated argument during a White House photo op with the U.S. president admonishing Ukraine's leader, the latter afterwards saying he was only trying to correct Mr. Trump, saying Russia's president cannot be trusted. ABC's Mary Bruce.
We've learned that the Trump administration is considering cutting off all ongoing shipments of military aid to Ukraine in response to Zelensky's comments today. Now, no final decision has been made, and it's not clear what impact this would have on the battlefield, but it would certainly send a clear and strong message after the fiery spectacle the world witnessed here.
Zelensky afterward telling Fox News that he thinks the relationship with Trump can be repaired. Docs treating Pope Francis for pneumonia in a Rome hospital say he suffered a coughing fit today. He was put on a ventilator. No word on what killed Oscar winner Gene Hackman or his wife, found dead at their New Mexico home. Blood tests underway. Medical examiner says so far, no sign of carbon monoxide. This is ABC News. Political fireworks in Los Angeles after the mayor fired the fire chief. Now the fire chief fighting to get her job back by going around the mayor. ABC's Alex Stone in L.A.
L.A. Mayor Karen Bass fired Fire Chief Kristen Crowley. Firefighters and their union have been vocally backing Crowley, saying she became a scapegoat for failures that were made by the mayor. The mayor was in Ghana when the fires broke out here in L.A. and blamed the chief for not telling her bad fire weather was arriving, even though warnings had been all over TV and radio broadcasts for days beforehand. Now Crowley is taking the extraordinary step of filing an appeal with the city council. In the unlikely event 10 of the 15 council members choose to keep Crowley, Mayor Bass's firing would be overturned.
The World Health Organization says a mystery illness that killed at least 60 people and sickened hundreds in northwestern Congo could have been caused by contaminated water. One doctor says they suspect a water source in the area may have been poisoned. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I'm currently 3 episodes into the new season of Reacher, and so far, I would recommend it as a Pete pick. Actual giant Alan Ritchson has returned as the title character, kicking butt and taking names. Season 3 so far has more of a feel like season 1, where Reacher stays true to the character, giving assistance to the underdog and those in need. Reacher season 3 gets a so far so good rating. Stay tuned. Spoiler alert regarding White Lotus Season 2. Season 3 of the hit HBO show is underway. White Lotus is always set at a White Lotus resort, where in Episode 1, we learn a murder has been committed, but don't find out who the victim is or who done it until the last episode of the season. Jennifer Coolidge was the victim in Season 2 and says she hopes that her on-screen husband, played by John Grise, is the victim in the third season. That seems the obvious choice, but writer-creator Mike White likes to keep the audience guessing. You can catch White Lotus at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a few flurries tonight, colder and blustery, lows 5 to 10. Sunny for the weekend, highs in the mid-20s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Mild to start next week with a chance of showers. Highs well into the 40s Monday, Tuesday. Currently 21 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news events, and as you know, Chujonk and Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Jagga. And this portion of the show is supported by Jagga's Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
So, Wendy, you saw that I'm right once a day here on Native Roots Radio.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chujonk and my wife, Wendy. Hey, we were able to, because it was in the forefront, we had Robert Lilligren on yesterday, and we were able to go to the opening, Haley, last night. I know you got some thoughts that I'd like to hear from you and also add to your thoughts. It was very cool and interesting and a lot deeper in a lot of different ways that I hadn't heard before about Rory's artwork.
Yeah, so we're talking about artist Rory Wakeemup, and Rory isn't just an artist, but he's also an activist, and I think that really shows through in a lot of his artwork pieces and a lot of the pieces that he's brought into the community, especially during certain marches and things like that. But this is Smart Wars, and Smart Wars, Many Shields by Rory Wakeemup is a flip the script satirical exhibition, a solo exhibition, I may add, featuring works that assert Native identity, resilience, resistance, and coexistence with our planet. This is on view. The opening was last night, but it's on view through April 5th, and this is at NACD's All My Relations Arts Gallery. That address is 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's the little yellow building there. It's connected to the Powwow Grounds coffee shop and NACD's offices. And then the gallery is in the back part there. So, definitely be sure to check that out.
Well, Haley, what was interesting, too, and it comes full circle because we talked to Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis about the shields. And so that played heavily into what he was talking about. And what Robert reminded us of is he was heavily involved in those shields that were mirrors. Wendy, you remember putting those together, showing the whenever we were getting water bombed from the police, they could take a look at themselves.
Yeah. So the shields is something that you wear like armor, and it's protective gear. And when we were in Standing Rock, we were making shields to wear, and they were mirrored so that the police who were throwing the rubber bullets at us and attacking us could see what they look like from our perspective. So the shields that we wore were mirrored, but you're talking about other mirror. You're talking about other shields.
Yeah. From Talk last about night. Those. Yeah. Yeah. Haley, he was talking about those and how they're, well, what was the law he mentioned that I did hear about before, but it was right there in front of us.
Yeah. I don't know if, I think this was part of some of the armored shields that were part of the outfits too. Mm-hmm. And he was very clear when he was describing the outfits and in his artwork, he is calling the pieces outfits instead of regalia or costumes because they're neither. So these artwork pieces are outfits, but yeah, they had armored shields on them. And he was talking about that if you were arrested at a protest or something and you had armor on you, it turned into a felony charge or it was a lot more serious of a charge. And I don't know if that's a new kind of thing, but he was talking about the rubber bullets and everything. Those still hurt and those do break things. So you do want to protect yourself in some way. And he was talking about incorporating the regalia into these outfits and kind of indigenizing them. So maybe we could bypass some of those laws and bring it like a cultural thing that could protect us by wearing certain type of native armor or whatever you want to call it to protest. So we do have some type of
It's like a Haley and Wendy, and I know you guys have seen this before, but it was in the show last night. These are kind of basic Star Wars kind of uniforms, you know, with the helmets and everything. It's like Star Troopers from Star Wars or Troopers from Star Wars that were bedazzled out. And, you know, like there was one Haley in the back that was a medical one. It was all white. And have the red star or the red not the red cross, but it was the circle. It was like the medicine wheel, but it was all red. Mm-hmm. And to amplify or to present it as a medical regalia or uniform or
thing. And then he was talking about using, I think it was like the blue oil. What are those? Not like cartons.
Yeah, those barrels, those kind of thing. Those barrels,
how you can like, it was a really cool piece, but he used those barrels to like cut them up and then you can connect them and then circle them up and use that as like a shield to protect a group of people too.
Yeah. And that'll be finishing up too. So I believe we're going to go there when his show ends because it is a show in progress right now too with putting these things up. But there was a good, I don't know, 9 or 8 or 9 or 10 mannequins with these uniforms on.
Yeah, the outfits. I know. I think too. One of my favorite. It was like all white, and it was like a very beautiful white shawl. I can't remember what it's called, but I know Rory had some help from his mom who was there too, which I thought was really sweet of him to recognize her and include her in his work. I loved the little Yoda with the makeup on and the big auntie earrings. That might have been my favorite.
Well, that was funny. Somebody asked him how long did it take him to make all these things. And you're talking, what is that called? Frills? Remember from those jackets, Wendy? They're all those... Are those called that hang from like the old Western jackets?
Yeah, or the old.
And they're on like, you know, the dancing shawls.
Yeah. What are they called, Haley?
I don't know. I thought they were ribbons.
Ribbons. Oh, my God. All right. Everyone kind of knows what we're talking about. I just went off the deep end there.
Probably it's not. Fun Friday.
People listening saying, well, what the heck are they talking about?
Well, I don't know. Wendy, is this Fun Fact Friday or?
They could go check out the exhibit and decide for themselves
and send an email to haley.cherry. No, I'm just kidding. send an email to someone. But so that was riveting what he had to say. But it was funny too. Again, a young person asked how long it took for him to do it, and he paused and he said 10 years.
To put together the whole show.
I'm
sure.
There was stuff from his original show that was there, too. Wow. There was also one where one of the Star Wars character, a Star Warrior, cut the head off of the Cleveland Indian mascot.
Oh, yeah, the mascot.
That's an older one, too. But I didn't realize that was that until he mentioned that because it was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
I like that he called them Star Warriors, too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Wow,
we'll be stealing that for our t-shirts.
No. But yeah, check out Rory's work. He's done. He has a great, long, successful career, and we're happy to have him in the community. And Rory, too, was the former director of All My Relations Arts. So it was cool to have him back in the space with his own exhibit.
Well, it's crazy. If you ever see my jean jacket with my American Indian movement patch, there's also a Thunderbird in it, and it says Mini Wachoni on there. And he was doing, when he was there, he was doing silkscreen for anyone that wanted to come in for free. And I had that put on my jacket. And
Or
he did that for me years ago when he was the director. Then I got a bunch of posters, too, for free, but don't tell anybody. Down in the basement, they're all full of posters, and you handed me a bunch.
Robert has everything in our basement.
Thanks, Rory.
And the studio, too. My former studio I did, too, but now it's a baby room, Wendy.
Yeah. It's a nursery.
It's a nursery now for the twins, the sacred twins. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next, State Senator Mary Kunish. You are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Oh,
your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakeemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wakeemup challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
A portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we are here with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, for our update and our little gab session. And again, I just got to say a big peeny geegee. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're super busy, especially now we're in session. And a big part of this show, Wendy and Haley, is our guests. I mean, that's what makes the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just talked to someone too recently in the past couple of days who had mentioned how much they love when Mary comes on the show every Friday. So yeah, I wanted to bring that up too.
Thank you. Good one. Thank you.
Now let's get to the dirty part here. Now, a lot going on, things happening. I know Wendy and I will be seeing you Monday, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that before I forget.
Yeah. So I've invited Robert to come in and testify for the Education Policy Committee on Monday. That's at 12:30 in the Senate building. We will be hearing two bills that will affect our students, our American Indian students across the state. The first one is a modification of the mascot bill. And if you all remember, and I'm sure most of you know that we have outlawed the use of any imagery or language or any association to an indigenous picture or person without the permission of the tribes. And that has caused a lot of consternation for some of the school districts that still are using that. You know, it's unfortunate that they didn't have the foresight to come up with their own mascot and you know, refresh that. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of threats from school districts that are saying, well, if you don't give us the money to do it, then we're not going to do it. That's not what the bill is going to be. I am going to try to allocate some dollars to the schools because I recognize 100% that there are costs to signage. If they have the mascot image on their wooden
jerseys
or their gymnasium floor, I get that there's a cost and we don't want that to come at the expense of our students. But when I hear this blatant, we're not going to do it, you know, you have to wonder about the maturity of those leaders, right?
Yeah. Good way to put that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one is a drumming bill that will allow the parent group to request drumming at high school events where we have a large or, you know, have Native population. And when I talk about the parent group, in Minnesota, if a school has or a school district has more than 20 Native students, they are obliged to create the American Indian Parent Advisory Council for that school. And they have every right to be in on discussions around curriculum and other things that affect Indigenous students and should be acting as an advisor to the school and the school district. Mm-hmm. And so the bill that we'll be hearing on Monday says that if there is a formal request for the drumming, then the drumming has to be considered at graduation ceremonies, because we did hear it in the last couple of years that school districts that traditionally were doing that, all of a sudden were saying, no, we're not going to do it. And you have to wonder, you know, you really have to wonder why that is the case. It's sort of like when we had to create a law that said, yes, our Native students can wear an eagle feather in their graduation cap, because we know that our Native kids graduate at the lowest levels and unfortunately have the highest incidences of attendance issues and truancy, as well as, you know, reaching the grade level score. So anytime we can create an opportunity where to call them out with pride and recognize their achievements, why wouldn't we do that? Is it because not everybody's Native? Not everybody enjoys hearing the drums? I don't know. But, you know, let's put some support behind these students with the largest disparities.
Absolutely, Mary. And you remember, and I know Wendy remembers this, that I was on the St. Paul Parent Committee, Native American Parent Committee, too. And for quite a few years as a teacher advisor, not a parent, but we went non-concurrent in St. Paul. We were demanding things that were very, very easily fixed, that we just got a lot of lip service, and we had to go non-concurrent 1 year, which was unprecedented. Nobody had ever done that in St. Paul. And we got some things done, just basic things like leaving enough room for American Indian Magnet School to have students that are just signing up for class to be able to get in there and not be denied, where other other people were filling up the school for whatever reason, whether it was busing or hanging out with their friends. And then it lost all vision of what the American Indian Magnet School was all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And St. Paul was the leader. And another shout out to Mr.
John. Bobolink.
Bobolink, because he was the one that really pushed to allow smudging in schools. And we have seen it, and it is proven that when our Native kids go through that smudging ceremony or have time to do that and recenter themselves and remind themselves why they are there and who they represent, It has tremendous positive consequences, as well as allowing kids to wear their tobacco pouches. Yep. I mean, these are all things that we had to legislate,
right.
And it's unfortunate that that's indeed what we had to do, but very slowly. And the thing is with the smudging is that we heard from a number of people that when the Native students were smudging, a lot of the non-Native kids asked if they could participate, and they found that behavioral issues really decreased. So if we find one...
While Mary's picking up her grandchild, I smudged way before it was legal in my classroom, and also gave out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but the reset button, what you kind of just mentioned there, is really what I witnessed, people coming down, and that's a way to ask for help and to reset if they're having issues with another student or a teacher, to come down and smudge and reset. So that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So these are, you know, these are the constant issues that we are dealing with at the Capitol. And so thank you both for coming down and participating. That hearing is at 12:30 on Monday in the Education Policy Committee. And you can also watch it online. So anybody can watch any of our hearings online. Please don't do that, Rita. You can go into the, she's trying to put a metal thing in my computer.
Easy.
Dangerous.
No metal things,
Rita. You can watch it. We have a Senate YouTube channel that puts all of our hearings out there. There was just an incredible one this past week where Republicans were talking about defunding Medicare. I mean, come on. You know, not only our Native people, but our elder, so many older people, so many people in our communities. They need SNAP benefits. They need all kinds of these benefits. And it's so sad in this day and age that they need these things to survive. Please, you know, folks out there, pay attention to what's going on at the Capitol. And one way is to watch those hearings or go to the committees that we hear from and hear about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
It is important. I just want to mention one thing really quickly. In 1992, when I was at St. John's University in Jamaica, Queens, the basketball team there was called the Redmen. Back in 1992, what happened was they realized that it was discrimination. And the student council got together and said, we don't want our basketball team called the Redmen because it's racist. Mm-hmm. And here are the names that we all get to vote on now. And then we did. We all got to vote on what name that we wanted. And we voted on the Red Storm. So back from 1992, I'm like really happy to know that my alumni, you know, recognized that early on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a movement for a while, and that's why I say I wish that there were schools and entities that were proactive and made that choice in a good way rather than having to be told, and then they get so upset when they're told to do something.
Right.
Well, you know, be respectful. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing this stuff up in the forefront and really, like, the past few years about, you know, working on the smudging, working on the MM. I have my, and it's so funny, Haley and I are twinning today without taking notes. And being a part of the MMIW push here in Minnesota, it's so important. And well, we got another segment with you, so we're gonna talk some more with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A heated argument during a White House photo op with the U.S. president admonishing Ukraine's leader, the latter afterwards saying he was only trying to correct Mr. Trump, saying Russia's president cannot be trusted. ABC's Mary Bruce.
We've learned that the Trump administration is considering cutting off all ongoing shipments of military aid to Ukraine in response to Zelensky's comments today. Now, no final decision has been made, and it's not clear what impact this would have on the battlefield, but it would certainly send a clear and strong message after the fiery spectacle the world witnessed here.
Zelensky afterward telling Fox News that he thinks the relationship with Trump can be repaired. Docs treating Pope Francis for pneumonia in a Rome hospital say he suffered a coughing fit today. He was put on a ventilator. No word on what killed Oscar winner Gene Hackman or his wife, found dead at their New Mexico home. Blood tests underway. Medical examiner says so far no sign of carbon monoxide. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us, you know. And again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a few flurries tonight, colder and blustery, lows 5 to 10. Sunny for the weekend, highs in the mid-20s Saturday, upper 30s Sunday. Mild to start next week with a chance of showers. Highs well into the 40s Monday, Tuesday. Currently 21 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olsen joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so well put.
And that matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Badger basketball game over the weekend and also find out whether we still have a country. If we do, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're back with State Senator Mary Kunish, Wendy Pilot, and Harry Haley Cherry, and we are talking a lot of political stuff, but also during the break, we were talking a little bit about cursive handwriting, Wendy.
Yeah, and how young people aren't being taught it anymore.
Yeah, it's
and mine. There's legislation about it. Can you tell us about that, Mary?
Sure. So every year there is discussion like, should we bring back cursive writing? Should we make Algebra 2 not a requirement? All these kind of things. And cursive writing has always been a big one. In fact, it was one of those questions on at the state fair. If you go over to like the legislative booths, yeah, and we had those questionnaires. Yeah. And there was a question, should we make cursive writing mandatory? And actually, it was overwhelmingly yes.
Yeah.
I was telling all of you that most of the young people like, that work in our offices can't read cursive writing.
Wow.
So we have to be very, you know, we have to print it out or, you know, send a text or whatever. But cursive writing is not, you know, being taught anymore. So Senator Ann Rest has a bill that would require the Commissioner of Education to develop an elementary English language arts requirement, and it's designed to make sure that students develop legible cursive writing skills by the end of grade 5. And that would be in education policy. So I don't know if Senator Swadzinski is going to hear that bill. If he does, and he passes it on to the next hearing, come to my committee, Education Finance, because there's money required. Fortunately, Minnesota is really, you know, has a really tight budget this next year. I don't know how many kind of fun things or non-essential, even though I think a lot of us think cursive is essential, will happen, but we'll see. So I don't know.
Haley, you said that you know cursive during the break. How did that come about?
I don't know. I must have been kind of the cutoff because that I did have a cursive language requirement in elementary school. So we did, it was part of our credits and we needed it to move up to fourth and fifth and sixth grade. And then, but from here on out, like I really only use cursive for my signature, really. So it's great to know how to read it.
If you're writing out a birthday card or a short note to somebody, you'd use it, right?
Yeah. And I think too, like, I mean, maybe if you're like a history person working in a museum, you might need to, you know, read cursive all the time or inspecting documents and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know how much I would use it now.
I know when I was teaching, I would always print off a huge stack of packets for cursive writing that kids could just take home because they wanted it. They wanted to learn how to do it. And like Robert said, mostly just for their signatures. But I could never keep that. I couldn't keep it, you know, enough of a supply up because they always, and before a holiday break, oh my gosh. I mean, I would make a stack this high. They could just come into the library and take one, and they'd often take a bunch of them for their their brothers and their sisters or their cousins or whatever. I think it's a really good one for like eye-hand coordination, the different sides of the brain. You have to use a lot of different, and you know, so many kids are intuitively artistic or creative.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we had cursive writing where we'd do our worksheets and the teacher would read to us. And it was just, again, a time to calm down, to kind of get ourselves back on, you know, like after a recess or lunch hour, take 15 minutes to do something like that. So, you know, a lot of those really sort of fun, unique things are gone from education. And I'm really convinced that some of those things, it contributes to the way that our kids are really struggling in different ways.
Well, I believe that I learned to take naps in school in kindergarten. And Wendy, didn't you see something about naps will lengthen my life?
Yeah, something like an adult person who takes a nap every day between, you know, like 15 and 25 minutes or something like that. I could probably look it up. Can live like an extra 8 years. Like, it's significant.
Gosh, I love a good 20-minute cat nap.
Right. It just like brings down your blood pressure, lowers your cortisol levels in your body, you know, just relaxes you. And having that done every day, having your body just really rest is health benefit. State, a health benefit to you.
State Senator, I always say this when Haley and I meet somebody that's going to correspond with us. I said, well, if it's going to be a two-sentence or a two-word response, that's coming from me. And if it's a coherent, you know, couple sentences, it's coming from Haley. also, too, when we give out birthday and Christmas cards, if it's beautifully handwritten, that's Wendy. I don't even get to sign it anymore. Right, Wendy?
Know your strengths and your skills.
Yeah.
And
own your strengths. Because we all have them, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, a lot going on at the Capitol. And we always like to bring up the fact, too, that it's the people's building. So it's really, like, less intimidating, Wendy, the more we go there. And I know you've been going there as a citizen for quite a few years.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed doing it. Yeah, meeting with my House representative and my senator. And
I remember you were up there for something, and you were, like, shocked that State Senator Mary Kunish was the guest speaker.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do remember.
That was
very many years ago. You came to our Humane Lobby Day.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. And I think we had just met and you just started on the radio. So it was like really fresh and new.
Yeah.
And you were at our Humane Lobby Day and you got up and spoke. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. It's Senator Mary Kunish.
I think so she was representative then.
Happy. Yes, probably. I think you were representative then. I came to you later on. But you've been supporting, you know, our humane legislation for a long time. So again, and as always, I always like to thank you for doing that.
Oh, it is my pleasure. If we can take care of the four-legged animals in our lives and around us, then, you know, we just are not living our values and the values of our ancestors. Just really appreciate the work that the Humane Society does. And I was a dog foster person for about 5 years. And oh my gosh, I mean, it's such a heartwarming thing to do. Sometimes it was a huge hassle. Sometimes we got the goofiest dogs and it's like, I don't know what to do with this dog. But at the end of the day, those animals that are our pets just bring so much joy and comfort to us in so many different ways. Or, you know, if they're a medical dog that helps with anxiety or the blind or, you know, all of those kind of things. Just appreciate the work that you do as well, Wendy, and that the Humane Society does as well.
Yeah, and the Humane Society of the United States changed its name. Yes, we're not known as the Humane Society of the United States anymore. It is now called Humane World for Animals.
Oh, I like that.
Humane World for Animals, because we're, you know, we outreach, we do work all over the world for animals. So, and our work is changing policy, and that's what we want to do.
Excellent. Well, that is excellent. And State Senator, and we all know this too, I just like to amplify this. It's really funny too when you see old photographs of Native Americans that are, you know, in front of their teepee or whatever when they're outside. There's usually a dog there.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, dogs are sacred to Native Americans for many different ways. But heck, some of the most famous chiefs and medicine men were named after or have dog in their name, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the value of a dog in their everyday life, they care, you know, they would strap the travois to them and the, yeah, those dogs would carry the goods and the belongings and the teepees. I mean, keeping them warm at night, yeah, companionship, I'm sure with hunting, yeah, just like watchdog. Us. I mean, yeah, watchdog, very much an integral part of our of their lives as well as our lives. And we always hear about res dogs and, yeah, and sometimes I hear people complain about they, you know, Indians don't take care of their dogs or their animals. They're running all over. You know, honestly, that's the way it should be. We don't want vicious dogs running around, but that's how dogs realize become humane. You know, they get used to us, we get used to them. And so, I know that there are organizations that will go to the reservation and just have like a weekend of veterinary care for pets and animals, mm-hmm, neutering, spading, mm-hmm, looking at other issues. And again, appreciate all the work that those organizations do.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's needed, especially, yeah, the spay neuter programs are unbelievably helpful.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what's really, here's, I like throwing trivia out here every once in a while. So Bob Barker was a Cherokee and he was Native American and he always said at the end of his show, remember to spade and neuter. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny that, you know, that kind of lines up with what we're talking about today.
Maybe yeah, that was the price is right, I think, right? Yeah. The price is
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And truth yeah, the consequences if you're yeah, if you're old and remember
oh, wow,
that.
That's an old one. I think that was black, in black and white. Yeah.
It was definitely. Well, State Senator, we got like a minute left here. Just to remind you, to remind everyone to come visit you whenever they can. It's the People's House, and yep, we'll give you the floor here this last minute.
Yeah, please do come join us. Reach out to your representative as well as your federal delegation, the senators and the congressional. There's a lot of not good things, horrible things that are happening at the federal level. And your voices are really needed, not just with your own congressional and Senate members, but also the ones that represent our entire state, because we can't be undoing veterans. We can't be undoing education. There's now a tattletale line that that you can go to. So be a participant and let's make this world good, not just for us, but for the next seven generations.
Absolutely. A big peeny geegy, State Senator Mary Kunish. We'll be right back with our sacred portion of the animal section with Wendy Pilot.
Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today.
Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Redhorse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
I just got kind of confused there. I didn't know if I was supposed to howl or say no.
Oh, I know.
I was gonna trying to howl and say no at the same time.
You could do that
in wolf language. It might no.
Yeah, I can. No.
No. Oh.
It's a fun fact Friday, and it's really fun too. We coerced Wendy to be on the whole show today, and that's that hasn't happened in a while. So we appreciate you and being on, and always your great analysis of what we're talking about.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for the Humane World for Animals. Yes, the Humane Society of the United States has changed their name. You can find them now at Humane World for Animals. But if you go to the Humane Society of the United States, it just like switches you, and you could find their information without any problem. So it's always my pleasure to do that. I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and I'm really excited. We're having another Humane Lobby Day every year. I don't know how many years it's been now, Robert. Do you know how many years it's been?
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even remember.
Before we were on the radio.
So Humane Lobby Day, I've been doing with the Humane Society of the United States, now Humane World for Animals. I don't know. What
before
do you think?
We got on
Eight
the radio.
Years, seven
we've been,
years.
This is our ninth year on
okay,
the radio.
So it's been a while. So every year we get together and we ask people to come and join us. And I'm going to give you the information on how to do that. But I'm just going to explain what it is to get you excited first. And then once you're excited, then you'll go to the site and sign up. So Humane Lobby Day is an event that's held every year. It's going to be held on Tuesday, March 18th. From 10 to 3 at the Minnesota State Capitol. We have our meeting first in a little church right across the street. And you go in and you can have some coffee and cookies. And then we have a little speaker and then some lunch. And then your appointments to see your legislator and House representatives to talk to them about important bills that we want to pass. Now, in our last segment, we were talking about with Mary, and, you know, she mentioned that it's really important to, you know, we have a lot going on in the world right now. And, you know, maybe animal issues right now don't seem as important as what's going on, right, with like, you know, what's happening with Trump and Zelensky and the war in Ukraine and Russia and like a million other things that are happening right now. You would say, okay, there's all this stuff to worry about. Why should I care about animals? I think the reason is it's because it's just like Mary said, you know, it's just a fundamental humanity that starts with our four-legged creatures or any creature that has, you know, who is vulnerable, right? Who doesn't have a voice. So we need to stand up for them. And that's where humanity begins. So it's just a fundamental empathy that you have. So we're going to be presenting three policies that we would want to have passed in the Minnesota state laws. Mm-hmm. The first one I'm going to talk about briefly, it's fighting against a mandated wolf hunt. So what some want to do is mandate a wolf hunt in Minnesota, and we want to stop that. So that's our main goal, is to do that. There hasn't been a wolf hunt here in Minnesota. The last wolf hunt was in 2012 to 2014. And during that time, 900 wolves were killed. And I'm sure that there were a lot more, because as we know, there are a lot of illegal kills that happen with our Minnesota wolves. And just having a mandated wolf hunt would just decimate our wolves, and we want them for future generations. They help our, you know, the economy. People go up north and mm-hmm. spend money in lodging just to see them, mm-hmm. take pictures of them, you know. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to kill them. So that's one. The other bill that we're presenting is a declaw bill. Mm-hmm. So this means declaw. We want to have declawing your cat to be banned.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I left that my notes upstairs. Let me see if I can remember. The first state, the whole state, to ban declawed cats. We're not allowed to declaw your cat. Was New York.
Wow.
Yeah, New York.
When do you know?
I have it written down. It's upstairs. I think it was 2015. I would have to bring it up. Let me see if I could find it. It doesn't matter. So it's Massachusetts, New York, and there was another state. Mm-hmm. I wish I had it in front of me. I'm sorry.
Makes so much sense, because you taught me this years ago about decline and what that really involves.
Yeah. I mean, people think it's like, oh, okay, let's just take the nail out. It's not. It's like cutting the knuckle, the first knuckle. It would be like taking touch your fingernail, and then that your first knuckle, that's declawing a cat. It's like removing their knuckle. Mm. It's very, very painful for the cat. It really produces more problems for the cat and more behavioral problems for the cat. Mm. It causes infection. Mm. The cats don't want to use the kitty box or kitty litter because they can't scrape it. So then they go elsewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, it could cause a lot of problems, and it's very inhumane. So mm-hmm. let's get this done. Let's care about this. Let's have our legislators vote on it and pass it. Mm-hmm. The other one is have a wide Minnesota statewide humane pet store ordinance.
Yes. Statewide.
This is something I've been working on for a really long time. We had it passed in St. Paul. We have it passed in, like, I'm going to guess and say six counties. Cities in Minnesota.
Right.
Now we want it across the whole state of Minnesota. So what this means mm-hmm. is we would ban the sale of cats and dogs who originate from a puppy or a kitten mill.
Yeah.
And these are dogs and cats who are kept in horrible conditions, right? Small cages. They have to stay there their whole life. And their whole purpose is to breed mm-hmm. so that their puppies and kittens can be sold online and in pet stores. So we definitely want to get that passed. So these are the kind of things that we want to work towards. We want Minnesota to be a humane state, and
which
have and we want to have even more. So I'm really happy. Also, Long Island passed a pet store ordinance.
Really?
Yeah, Long Beach has a pet store ordinance.
Come on.
There. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of places elsewhere in the United States that adopted this pet store ordinance because. Go ahead, babe.
I'm sorry. It makes so much sense. And we've talked about this over the years. Like, you know, Wendy's been on the show for 9 years. This is her ninth year and a founder of Native Roots Radio and talking about animal issues. But just the inhumane things that these puppy mills and all for profit. And of course, we've had a couple animals, our relatives, our pets, or whatever you want to call them, as former puppy mill dogs.
Yeah. So you could go out on a website. Haley, do we have that? It's called a mini URL, And you can go on, it's called humaneworld.org. Oh, is that it?
.org. And then, yeah, it was like /.
Okay. Can event. You stop it so I could read
yeah.
it?
If so I stop it, it just goes away.
Oh, humaneworld. I can't read it. humaneworld.org/page/16
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week, and we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Hours after an Oval Office photo op confrontation between President Trump and Ukraine's President Zelensky over peace efforts and a, for the time being, collapsed mineral rights deal, Zelensky went on Fox News to thank America for its support and ask for diplomacy. He was asked if he regretted the public verbal squabble.
Yes, I think it was not good. Because we had a lot of different dialogues. I'm always open to media, but there are very sensitive things. I just want to be honest, and I just want our partners to understand the situation correctly.
Preliminary autopsy results didn't show carbon monoxide in the blood of the bodies of Oscar winner Gene Hackman and his wife, but experts say that does not necessarily rule it out. Pope Francis in the hospital 2 weeks for pneumonia, had a coughing fit today, says the Vatican, on a ventilator. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.